Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I am Lexi.
I'm Mom Lori.
And today we waded into uncharted territory.
We sure did.
We watched something foreign.
Yeah.
Something nearly silent.
Yeah.
And what wasn't silent was mostly in German, little tiny bit French.
Yeah.
The movie is called Vampire. It's from 1932. I didn't see a rating, so I'm assuming that it's not rated.
Yeah, and because it's in the public domain and it's that old, maybe they don't bother rating movies like that.
Oh, it could be. It was 75 minutes long, and it was directed by Carl Theodor Dreyer.
Yes.
Who was what we would call a junior, but in Denmark, they do not differentiate between father and son with the same name.
I read that. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand how, for like tax purposes and stuff, that works, but...
Well, everybody has their own tax ID, but, you know, you can get stuff on your report that's not you anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? You know, you have a cousin named Alexis, you know.
Yeah. And I get calls for her a lot.
Yes.
Doesn't pay her bills.
No, apparently not.
And I do. Just to put that out there. Just to make everybody look bad, I pay my bills.
I appreciate that. I sometimes pay mine. Till my cable goes out and I think, what else? Oh, bet you I didn't pay that.
Okay. This movie got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
I did not see a score on Metascore.
Oh, I would. You know, would they have even looked at it?
I don't know. And 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
Well, you know what? I think as Americans, we don't understand that stuff. You know?
Yeah, but enough people worldwide have seen this and consider it an important film.
Yes.
So...
But
I don't know.
When I think of Rotten Tomatoes and the IMDb and the Metascore and all that, I just think of the United States.
It could be.
So who knows what it really is?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I didn't see any budget detail.
Nothing. I found nothing about money except for the fact that it was very low, whatever it was.
Yeah. And I did read that in exchange for a leading role, the actor known as Julian West put up the money for most of the film.
Right. That's how the film got made. He bartered, hit the money for the role. And Julian West is also known as Nicholas de Gunsberg.
He was a baron.
Baron, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. But as many barons and rich, titled persons, no money.
Yeah, he didn't have a lot when he came to the States.
Nope. Basically, when he came to the United States, he just had the money in his pocket.
Hey, sometimes that's all people bring with them.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all you can bring with you.
Right. Right. And look where he got himself.
Yeah. That guy had a pretty cool life.
Yes, he did.
We'll get to it.
We will.
Plot of this movie is that a drifter obsessed with the occult and supernatural stumbles upon an inn where a severely ill adolescent girl is slowly turning into a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little misleading because he goes to the inn and then he ends up at the home with the girl.
Right.
The inn is not the home with the girl.
No. Uh-uh. He ends up at the inn and then he ends up at this mansion.
Yeah.
Which was almost as creepy looking as the inn.
Right. The cast is Julian West, Morris Schutz, Rena Mandel, Sybil Schmitz. I'm guessing this is Jan and not Jan.
Probably.
Jan Hieronymko, Henrietta Girard, Albert Braz, N. Babanini, Jane Mora, and Georges Bodin. B-O-I-D-I-N.
Bodin? Yeah. Okay.
His name is Georges, so I'm assuming he's French.
That would make sense. Well, most of the people you named, other than Maurice Schultz and Sybil Schmitz,
mm-hmm.
were people that they just picked up around and about.
Yeah, I did read that Dreyer really liked working with unprofessional casts.
Yep.
And that those were the only two professional names on set.
Mm-hmm. And Maurice is French and Sybil was German.
Oh, so it was Maurice, not Morris.
I would think it's more because he's French. I would think it would be Maurice.
Okay. I don't know.
That was my first thought when I read it. So that's what I'm sticking with.
Okay. My brain anglicized it.
I know. And that's okay, too.
What do you want to talk about first? I got a lot of trivia.
Well, we can talk. Let's talk a little bit about the director himself first.
Okay, sure.
You know, and then we can get to the trivia after that.
Okay.
This was his first talking movie.
I wrote that down.
And he didn't so much want it to be a talking movie because it was his first. It was unknown to him. And he really didn't. I think the changeover from silent to talkies was quite difficult for everyone. You know, as I recall.
Yeah.
From what I've read. Okay. And that's why he used the story cards.
Oh, okay.
This was shot entirely on location. And when it came time to put the soundtrack together, they did it. They started in Germany and then they went into France to finish it because they had to. And the people that were talking were not the people that were talking on the film. They used regular voice actors to sync up the French and the German to the lip movement and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they did try to do that. You know, I notice stuff like that when they're talking and their lips are not moving.
I had read in the different versions, you can see that the people that aren't speaking their native tongue are obviously speaking phonetically. And I was going to look for that and I didn't pay attention.
Well, that would make perfect sense because your lips would move. You know, when you're trying to form a word, your lips move funny, I think.
Right.
You know, or at least mine do. You know, so it was not at first well received in German.
Ooh, okay.
In Germany. But the people in France liked it better. And I think it was because they did different mix options.
Okay.
You know, they put it together a little differently.
Oh, sure.
You know, but we don't know because we don't have any, we don't have a whole film.
No, this was pieced together from the left, what was left of the German and French prints.
Right.
The English, it was made in three versions, the English version, the French version, and the German version.
Yes.
And the English version has not been known to survive.
Yeah, long gone. And, you know, and how much did how much of the other two were really left.
Right. And I did read that both met with different cuts by the various country censors.
Yes. I remember we talked about that during the movie.
Yeah.
When they killed the vampire herself.
Yeah.
Because and at the end, I'll have to see if I can find that. But yeah, there were some differences there.
Yeah.
Dyer started planning this movie in 1929. But the studio that he first took this to and wanted to work with dropped him. So that's when he decided he'd move out of the studio system and see what he could do on his own.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? Considering this was all him, I think it turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I could put together a movie like this. There's got to be knowledge there that, you know.
Right, because the way
more than I have.
The way it was shot, the way it was scored, just the whole outline of the movie, it's, you know, I don't know anything like it.
Right, right.
And I've watched a lot of silent films. Okay. I've watched a lot of foreign films. You know, I don't, you know, there's nothing that comes to mind that like, oh, that looks like this movie.
Okay. I've never seen anything like this at all. And I've watched plenty of Twilight Zone and, you know, Alfred Hitchcock stuff. And I would rate this up there with that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just plain creepy.
It was atmospheric.
Okay. La-ti-da. I get it, though. I get exactly what you're saying. Because I don't feel like I was scared. But I was on the edge of my seat the whole time with goosebumps.
I feel like if we weren't from the age we are in now, I feel like if we were from that time, that this would have been scary.
Oh.
It would have. And maybe not scary, but definitely unsettling.
Absolutely. You know what? Yes.
Because, you know, with my modern brain, I know so much. I know so much about past movies and stuff like that. That, you know, stuff like this isn't scary. But I feel like if I were a person in that time, it would have freaked me out a little bit.
Yes, because I remember my mother talking about the movie Psycho when it first came out and how creeped out she was about that.
Yeah.
And we've watched Psycho and I'm thinking, okay, it's kind of scary, but you know.
Right. It's definitely something for that time period that like.
Interesting. Yes.
Yeah.
I absolutely have to agree with you.
Because if we had never seen anything like this before, it would have fucked me up a little bit.
I think so.
If I had never seen something like Psycho before, I would never go in my bathroom again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, but now, you know, I've seen Saw. I've seen a few of the Saw movies. I'm not too pressed about something that I see on screen freaking me out.
Right. Right. Interesting. How interesting is that? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And because this was such an early talking movie, the studios here in the United States were really not ready for it yet. That's why he went to Europe to do this.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, his studio dropped him and he couldn't put the movie together the way he wanted it. And, you know, so that's why he went to Europe. They were ahead of things. They were ahead of the time of making the movies. At least that's what I read. And I thought, oh, okay. You know, I think things like this develop in the area where they are and then they spread around the world. So I think that maybe the people in France like this idea a lot better and started developing more entertainment-wise stuff, and okay. It spread around.
And, of course, Weimar Germany, you know, where anything went.
Right.
You know, before World War II, the good times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, and that's why he developed, when he went to put the movie together at the end, he started in Germany, but then had problems there and moved to France to finish it.
Okay.
So apparently France was the place where it was ground zero.
Sure.
I don't know. I just am assuming that. And this was kind of a whole movie about this guy's entire ideas of the supernatural and horror, and it was all put together in this movie. I think I saw that.
Yeah.
I think I saw that.
Well, I did also read that in the credits, in the opening credits, that he does drop the name of a book called In a Glass Darkly.
Right.
With short stories like Carmilla and The Secret House of the Hotel Soaring Dragon.
Yes.
I guess kind of reference material. Carmilla is about a lesbian vampire.
Yes. Yes.
Which was written in a time way before they talked about anything like that.
Right. But vampires were huge at that time.
Right.
So I guess any kind of a vampire was a cool vampire. But yes, this was a little bit of everything that he read and saw.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think I could see that in the movie. There was stuff, the way they talked and the book he was reading.
No, I don't understand the book, because when he first meets the old man has the parcel and he writes on it, to be opened upon my death.
Right.
And so when that man dies, he has the parcel on him and he opens it up and it's a book in English.
Right.
And I guess we're just supposed to
not notice,
make the logic leap that everybody in Europe speaks English. I mean, was that a thing then? Because I know that most of the world speaks English and we're just, you know, too stupid to learn anything else here.
Right. I'm going to say no to that, because I believe that what we saw as the book were cards.
Oh.
That was what, I don't think I read anything about that, but when they started to open the book, my first thought was, oh, the cards. They did the cards to move the story along.
But they said that the English version didn't exist, so don't you think that that means that the English title cards and everything wouldn't have existed to make this movie?
Okay, stop right there. You're not supposed to notice that. Okay. How many times have you told me that?
Okay. Sorry about that.
I thought that those were cards. And that's how it helped move the story along. So whether they're in, you know, maybe they could have been put in English when they put all the parts together to make the one movie.
Oh.
I don't think I read anything about that. I just knew that it was just in parts and that it was put together.
The only thing I read about the title cards was that there was an attempt at a fourth version in Danish, which...
Yes.
I think a lot of European languages, a lot of Scandinavian languages all just kind of root from each other.
Uh-huh.
So they said that they were making a Danish version based on the German version. But then there was something about the distributor couldn't afford to have the title cards completed in the manner they appear in the German version.
I read something about that, yes.
And they were instead finished with a more simple type.
Yes.
So I guess maybe the the version that we watched was supposed to have fancier title cards, and it didn't.
I thought that those title cards were kind of like a gothic look.
Oh, yeah.
They had like a gothic look to them.
The script was really big and clear, and I really appreciated that.
Yes. And the paper was pretty cool, that it was old and dirty and used.
Yeah.
I like that. You know what? I don't know. I think we'll never know.
Yeah.
Because these people are gone.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I have some stuff about pre-production when he went to France.
Okay.
It was in France where he met de Gunsberg.
Okay.
And because he wanted to do this movie, he agreed to de Gunsberg agreed to finance the movie if he could be a star. He could be the star. And boy, was he pretty.
Beautiful.
Good
man.
Heavens.
Tall.
Yes.
Trim.
So that's how he got in the movie.
He wore the hell out of that suit.
Yes, he did. And we'll talk more about his suits and his look.
Okay.
That's famous.
Yeah.
The creepy places were in France.
Oh, okay.
And I do have that the endings were changed to be accepted in the countries that they were being distributed in.
Oh, okay.
You know, the French and the German. Filming was all on location, as I said.
Okay.
That's also, by filming at these places, he didn't have any studio costs. So he cut a ton of money right off by just filming right there where he was. So, you know what? That makes all kinds of sense if you're trying to get a movie out that you want special. Here's it. German censors wanted changes to that death scene with that woman, because they felt that it was too, I guess the word would be graphic.
Gruesome?
Gruesome, yeah. Yeah, so they wanted changes there, and what we see today is a combination of the French and the German releases.
That's how it was cool, how like her body faded away and then the skeleton was there. I thought that was real cool.
That was. And you know what? I guess if a vampire's going to die, that's what it's going to look like, you know?
I watched a movie this morning while I was not sleeping. And I think it was called The Curse of the Undead. And it was like a cowboy movie. But like the main cowboy was a vampire.
Okay.
And like when the priest figures out who exactly he is and what he needs to do to kill him, he had a cross pin on his lapel, and he somehow got that pin onto a bullet, and that's how he killed the vampire. And the vampire just kind of slowly like faded away, and then his clothes deflated, and I thought that was such a cool death.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I watch when I'm not sleeping.
Weirdo stuff.
It was on the Universal Monster Channel.
All right. Well, that was the Wicked Witch of the West. When she got wet, she just kind of
melted away.
Melted, and then her clothes went poof.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh,
cool.
I think that, especially in that time period, you know, when there is no CGI, to make a body disappear and a skeleton reappear, that takes a lot of photographic know-how.
Yes.
Like, you have to know what you're doing to get a shot like that, to create an image like that in an era without computers.
Absolutely, and we saw that many times in this movie with the shadow people.
And the face at the end in the window, did you see that?
That was horrifying.
That was crazy.
But you know what? I think that must have been a mask.
Or like a like an up-close picture of that guy's face, like superimposed onto the film.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know, but I thought that was...
I know you can superimpose camera film. Can you superimpose movie film?
Oh, I'm
sure. Is that the same? Is that the same kind of celluloid? Cellulose?
Celluloid.
Yeah.
Yes, I would think that would be yes, that you could do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. I thought it was cool. I thought the whole look of the movie was very cool. The trick, the lighting,
yes,
the shadow dancers, the soldier with one leg walking,
yes,
around without, you know, the man was sitting and the shadow was independent of the man.
Uh-huh.
I thought that was cool.
Yes. Yes. And when the star sat down on the bench and then got up from the bench and the shadow was still sitting on the bench. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
That really was. That really was cool. So, yeah. Yeah, I think it's all very interesting. I can understand why it's on your
Criterion.
I can understand why it's on there. Because it was kind of really cool.
Yeah, and I have read a Russian director that I guess is considered very important. His name is Andrei Tarkovsky.
Mm-hmm.
Considered it a masterpiece and named it one of 77 essential works of cinema.
Wow.
And I also read that somewhere else. Hold on.
Considering how many movies I've made, 77 is a pretty important number.
Yeah. And it's included in the list of 1001 movies you must see before you die. Edited by a man named Steven Schneider.
Ah, cool.
Now, I didn't look into any of the other movies, but I would imagine there are some illustrious company on this list.
Yeah. Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. It was a very interesting film. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
No. Do you think that during the blood transfusion, the doctor turned Julian West into a vampire?
You said that.
Now that I'm sitting here thinking more about it, I think that that's maybe what happened.
I don't. Because he could have turned the blood back the other way.
Right.
But, He said when he was sitting in that room, my blood is coming out or something.
I'm losing blood,
yes. Oh. Vampires don't need blood.
Vampires need blood to survive. Their hearts don't beat, right. So their blood doesn't, the blood they, in their bodies don't circulate.
They don't need blood in their bodies. Interesting.
Oh, so he was like internally... Like, his blood was just turning to dust?
Maybe.
I'm losing blood. That could be.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That does.
I don't know. But that doctor had something to do with it.
Yes. The doctor, well, it said in the book that the doctor had sold his soul to the devil.
Yes.
So, and that's why he only came out at night.
And he was in cahoots with the woman in the grave. Which you saw him.
Which was the vampire.
Yeah. You saw him help her out of a room very early in the
right.
movie.
And it was obviously a step up.
Yeah.
Yes. So he was the
facilitator.
That's right. I was scraping my mind for that word.
Facilitating everything.
Yes. Yes. And that's why he only came at night. Remember the little girl asked,
why does he only come at night?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep. So, and it said in the book that he had sold his soul.
Oh.
He was not a vampire, but he had sold his soul.
But every vampire needs a familiar.
Yes, that is correct. someone to move them through the daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
So that was the doctor.
Yeah. Oh, and that makes sense because he becomes whole. Julian West's character becomes whole at the end of the movie because the vampire had been killed.
Yes.
And the vampire that created everybody, once they die, their creations cease to be vampires.
Correct. And that's why the little girl sat up in bed and said, I feel strong.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So the doctor turned him.
I guess I have to believe that, yes.
I'm happy with that reasoning.
Yes. But there was some humanity left in him through that he was able to move through to the right side.
So what about the scene where they're walking him through his funeral procession? So was that just his, like, fever dream?
Yes. I do not know, so I'm going to say yes. Why would he have been in that coffin?
Yeah.
Walking along the road. I don't.
And what happened when he ceased to be a vampire to the body in the coffin? Did that body just like rejoin the man? Did it just like materialize out of the coffin and
what?
Merge with the man? Hold on, I got lots of questions.
Maybe that's some of the stuff that was lost.
I think so, because it did feel incomplete.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Very incomplete.
And not to say that, the runtime was any different than a movie from this time, because you'll be hard-pressed to find movies that are, what they are now.
Right.
Back then.
Right. An hour long was a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Interesting. We watched this and we have more questions than we have answers. That's okay.
But I think that's what art films are supposed to do. They're supposed to leave you, well, if this is this, then what is this? And if that is that, what is that?
Right. I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. This made you think more than I think I wanted to think.
It made you think more than you had planned to think for a Saturday morning.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, that's it. That's it. But overall, it was pretty good. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. And not that I really liked it, but I mean, it was visually appealing.
Even the stuff that was a little on the grainy side, it was still really cool to watch.
Yes, yes. Yes, and the fact that this was the beginning of the movie industry.
Right.
You know, we really have to put a little respect on that, because what we have now had to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
And the visual effects that this guy did were pretty magnificent, considering the stuff we see now, which is, CGI wasn't even a thought in the 30s.
No, and, without movies like this, we wouldn't have a movie like Psycho.
Exactly.
With that skull overlay over Norman Bates' face at the end. We wouldn't have stuff like that. And without stuff like that, we wouldn't have the CGI we have now.
Correct. I absolutely agree with you. There are innovators in many disguises throughout time, aren't there?
Yeah.
And I think that this guy was way ahead of his time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Really, really cool. Okay, you want to talk about Julian West?
Sure.
Baron Nicholas de Gunzburg. I hope I'm saying that right. Do you think I'm saying that right?
It's as good as it's going to get.
Rich guy, but not really rich. Loved costume balls. Never married, but had two long-term partners.
I've read that he was a French-born member of the Russian nobility.
Correct. Yes.
And that
he must be related to us. Because he was from the Tsar's line.
Oh, of course.
Since, you know, Anastasia is my grandma. So that's for another time. I mean, that's a whole story that we've created in our family over time. So that's another story. Let's see. Born in France, Russian. Yep. He was of Tsar Alexander II's from his line, the Günzburg's line, started in 1874.
Okay.
He came to the United States around 1934, and he went with, like I said earlier, with just the money in his pocket. Said the money in his checkbook, but, you know, it's the money in his pocket.
Yeah.
He originally settled in California in an artist colony, but soon tired of that. He tired of that lifestyle, and you know, he was a pretty educated man, considering. I mean, and the artist lifestyle isn't what he was looking for. So he went in. So he then eventually moved to Manhattan.
Okay.
And his first big shindig with the last bit of money he had was a huge costume ball that was the talk of the town.
Yeah, I read that.
He loved costume balls.
Who doesn't love a costume
ball? Well, gosh, yeah. We try to do it every other week, don't we? We love it. He started his editorial career at Harper's Bazaar.
Oh, okay.
Which in the 30s and 40s and 50s was a very prominent magazine. He went on to be editor-in-chief at a magazine called Town and Country, which is pretty much on the same level as Harper's Bazaar, but a lot, just mostly along the East Coast.
Okay.
And then in 1949, he was the senior fashion editor at Vogue.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. He didn't much like working with women.
Well,
although maybe at that time, working was a man's thing, you know.
Still, yeah. Okay.
So it was probably hard when women started to come to work and, you know, and he had to work with all those models and stuff. But he was known for his fashion. He had, he was a minimalist. Black, gray, and white were his colors. And throughout his time at Harper's or at Vogue,
okay,
he mentored young up and coming designers, Bill Blass,
yeah,
Oscar de la Renta,
yeah,
and Calvin Klein,
yeah,
all huge names,
absolutely,
who are still huge names,
right? I only wear Calvin Klein perfume.
Me too. I used to only wear Calvin Klein clothes. When I worked at the department store, I bought a lot of Calvin Klein because it really fit my big girl figure and looked great.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, that's what I know about this movie.
Awesome. In order to achieve the strange dreamlike photography, mm-hmm. a thin gauze was put in front of the lens as a filter.
I read that. I thought, how interesting is that? How simple.
Yeah.
But how interesting. And that would give you that hazy edges.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And for the final scene shooting, 3 tons of real wheat flour was used to bury the doctor.
Oh, my God.
In the flour mill.
Wow.
And the doctor was supposed to meet his demise in a swamp.
Right.
But during location scouting, they came across this flour mill and they're like,
cool.
We can do something with this.
What's more scarier than a flour? Have you ever been in a mill?
No.
They're kind of creepy because all those great big giant wheels and things that turn and grind.
The cogs.
Okay. I know the stone. I know the stone, and I've seen millstones that were bigger than me. So that's, yeah. That would be an awful death, grounding in flour.
Ugh, could you even imagine? First of all, just the amount of weight.
Yeah.
And then just, you know how you work with just, you know, a couple cups of flour and you get it in your throat and it's...
Yes.
It's in your throat.
Yes. And even still today, people die in, you know, things like that, silos and stuff. And
oh, yeah.
And they still die like that.
It's crazy. The dank doctor's surgery and its abandoned dirty look, covered in cobwebs, was said to be achieved by the director breaking jam jars on the floor and leaving the room shut off for a little over a month to attract various bugs and critters.
God! Oh my God, that's awful!
This is the first film to receive an H certificate in the UK. The letter H.
What does that mean?
For horrific films which are likely to fright or horrify children under 16.
So it was rated.
In the UK, it had a rating.
I'll be darned.
The UK has notoriously been really puritanical about their movies. In the 80s, they had something called the Video Nasties, and, you know, like, mostly they were horror movies, and, like, of course a movie like Driller Killer is going to be on a Video Nasty list.
I don't think we've ever talked about that before. I didn't know that.
Oh, the Video Nasties?
Oh,
oh my God, that's a whole thing. You gotta read up on that.
It's really interesting.
There's a lot of movies that, like, a lot of movies that they show today had survived the Video Nasties.
Oh my gosh.
Cannibal Holocaust was a Video Nasty.
Never seen that one.
We've talked about Cannibal Holocaust
before.
Yes. The animal death is real, and that bothers me.
Yes.
So I've never seen it.
Okay.
You know, you can rip a person to shreds, but I don't want you to see it, and I don't want to see a turtle get decapitated.
Oh, okay. Yes, we have talked about stuff like that then. Cool.
So, yeah. So they had a whole thing, and that went on for years. It's only been recently that the Video Nasties have even been under review.
Oh, my.
And that movies have been able to show or sell in England.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Boy, some of the TV I watch that comes out of England is pretty... scary.
That's what I don't understand, is that the European television in general is just so much more...
I've seen boobs.
Explicit.
Yes.
Than American TV. And then we're going to say we can't watch somebody, you know, put a drill in somebody's head? What?
Yeah.
You're going to put boobs on primetime? You're not... What?
Okay.
The film was shot fairly cheaply using experimental sound process. And the technical quality of the soundtrack leaves much to be desired.
Yes.
Well,
we noticed it. It faded away here and there.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely fell out at a few points.
Yeah.
Most of the versions that are around today were created in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
As composites of the German and French versions.
Mm-hmm.
In the German release, the character Alan Gray... is called David Gray, which Dreyer attributed to a mistake when the cards were made.
Yes. I had read that he had different names, but, you know, is Alan a name in Germany? I
would think so. It's a name everywhere else in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the last little bit of trivia that we haven't talked about is that there were scenes written and shot that didn't appear in any of the existing prints today.
Okay.
And there's a scene of a vampire recoiling. When the vampire's in a factory and he's recoiling against the shadow of a cross. We didn't see that.
Oh.
And the actual line I read was that it was a Christian cross, but who other religion uses crosses? Like, shut up.
Yeah, that's kind of redundant, isn't it?
Yeah, so I just wrote down Shadow of Course.
Okay.
The ferryman guiding Giselle and Alan to the shore, they weren't just yelling hello at each other. The ferryman had gotten young kids to build a fire and sing a hymn to guide them to shore. Which I think would have been creepy as shit. The presence of small children around a fire.
Right. And hymn music.
Yeah.
Echoing around.
Yeah.
Through the fog.
Especially.
Ooh, that just gave me the creeps.
Especially, you know, not in English. That would be very weird to me.
Yeah. Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
So, I think this movie's really cool. I think it has we've talked for 45 minutes about just like technical aspects and just visually speaking how stunning this film is.
Yes, even as it looked like it was in bad shape, but man alive, it was
great.
Yeah.
Because there are older movies that are in better shape that I've seen, but it doesn't matter if it's complete, like a preserved picture versus, you know, kind of a rough cut.
Right.
Process. I don't think it matters. I think it being that rough put together project really lends to just how cool it looks.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
To fill in a little time, I looked up vampire lore.
Yes, because remember when he read the book, it said a steel state?
Yes.
And, you know, that was not what I was thinking. Don't they have to use a certain kind of a wood to do this? I mean...
It depends on the movie you watch. It depends on how the vampire has come to be. Because in one movie I've seen, the lore is that the main Dracula guy is Judas Iscariot, who sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver.
Okay, yeah.
And that's why he couldn't handle silver. That's why he couldn't handle silver, because he did this on down low at night. That's why he couldn't walk in the daytime. There's a whole thing religiously tied in to, you know, Dracula was really Judas Iscariot. And the movie was kind of shitty. But just thinking about it on that level alone is really kind of an interesting take.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I've never heard that. Okay. Yes.
And then, you know, there's not a lot of movies from other religions about vampires. You know, mostly what you see are, you know, pretty Anglo-Saxon.
Right.
And it's all, you know, crosses and holy water and stuff like that.
Right.
To deter the vampire. The mirror thing, a lot of the vampires can't see themselves, can't see their reflections, and it's because of the silver process to make a mirror a mirror.
Right. That's what it's called when you make a mirror. Silvered.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all... Vampire lore is... I mean, the Wikipedia page was 30 pages long.
Holy cow!
I printed out every single one.
That we need to keep in our box.
Absolutely. I'm going to... Because at some point we're going to watch, like, Nosferatu.
Yes.
Which was a direct ripoff of the novel Dracula by Bram Stoker.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, Anne Rice's vampires are different than Bram Stoker's vampires, are different than Universal's vampire, are different than Hammer's vampire. It's all, every vampire movie has their own take, and I'm here for all of it.
Okay. All right.
But I look to see how long, because we've been making films since like the 1880s.
Yes.
And I look to see like the first vampire films.
Probably that was the very first one made, I betcha.
Of history. There's a There's a Frankenstein from like 1908.
Oh my goodness.
That Thomas Edison made.
Okay.
The first vampire movie on record is a movie called The House of the Devil from 1896. It was a French movie directed by Georges Méliès. Arguably the first vampire film, the vampire character is perhaps better identified as the devil. Doesn't use the common vampire trope of transforming into a bat. Under 4 minutes long in black and white.
Wow.
And then the next vampire movie I could find was a movie called The Vampire from 1913. And it's the earliest known surviving vampire film. And it's from the U.S.
Okay.
And then there's a whole bunch in the middle. And then we get to Nosferatu from Germany, 1922. That was F.W. Murnau. And he, this, there's all sorts of vampires. In this one, it was an old woman that looked like maybe she might have been a witch.
Uh-huh.
And in Nosferatu, he looks very... very rat-like. His teeth are set in such a way that they look very much rat-like. He's got long fingers and long nails. It's just, he looks very animalistic.
Okay.
And then there was a silent film called Dracula in 1920 from Russia that did not survive.
Oh.
Most sources agree that the existence of this film is questionable, but no details appear to have survived, and its existence is not verifiable. So whether or not it is true or not, I don't know. Universal picked it up in 1931 with the Todd Browning Dracula that we all know, with Bela Lugosi.
Uh-huh.
When did Hammer pick it up? Hammer picked it up in... 1958.
Wow.
With Dracula. Oh, the Horror of Dracula, which I have at least two copies of. And then there's all sorts of different versions, and there's, you know, there's scary ones. There's a Hotel Transylvania that was written for kids.
Yes. Yes.
In 2012.
Huh?
Carmilla Films. This is listed as the first Carmilla film, but
what is a Carmilla film?
Carmilla is the story that this movie is supposed to have been based on, but Carmilla is the lesbian vampire.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, I mean, there were no inherently lesbian characters in this movie.
Mm-mm.
So,
and for the most part, every vampire we've seen is a man.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe they're calling it our Carmilla movie because the main vampire was a woman, and that old lady, and she was turning the young girl.
Right.
So maybe that's the connection.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, there's also movies about Elizabeth Bathory. The countess that was said to have tortured and murdered her servants for their young servant girls for their blood to keep her young,
okay,
and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That was a Hammer film in 1971, Countess Dracula.
Okay.
So, I mean, this Wikipedia page was 25 pages long, 27 pages long. You know, there was another one, a Hammer movie. It's called Vampire Circus. It's from 1972. It's this like trap, like, I think you're supposed to think they're kind of gypsy-ish, which, okay, I know that that's a slur and we're not supposed to say now, but I think in context to that film, that's exactly what they were kind of supposed to be. It was just a ragtag troop of people that, okay, had this little rinky-dink zoo circus thing with them, but they were the animals. They changed into the panthers and the tigers. And
okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's so interesting. I mean,
yeah. I mean, there's so many movies, and they're from all over the world.
Well, every single culture has a story like that.
Yes. It's really kind of picked up speed in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
When
they didn't have an answer to a medical problem, that's when these things came out, vampires and werewolves and things like that.
Right.
So that answered questions that helped them understand, I guess.
Right. And obviously then from place to place, the cure it varied.
Okay.
Here in the U.S., when people started moving to the U.S., there were plagues. There were lots of plagues. And there was the story of a girl. And boy, I can't tell you, Mercy something. And I can't remember the exact stuff. But her brother died of, like, a typhus or pneumonia or something. Something that we could cure now, but could never have been cured then.
Right, right.
And he died, and then in short order, like, this little girl died, and I guess, in an effort to not process grief, and in an effort to try and find a reason why all of this is happening, they said, oh, well, it was the little girl killed the brother, and then died, and so we've got to dig up this little girl's heart and cook it to ash, and then put that into an emulsion and feed that to somebody else so they don't die next.
Okay.
And there's, you know, cure-alls like that all over the world for various vampire-ish problems, and it's
yes.
all very crazy, and I don't, it's all because what we know now as you know, trauma and death and grief and plague.
Right.
We all know what that stuff means now, but back when
yeah, back then it was all just voodoo.
Yeah.
Just hocus pocus.
Yeah, when all you knew was a little bit of Bible Latin.
Yeah.
And the language that you'd talk to each other in.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, and there was a case of Black Plague in California or Nevada just recently that popped up.
Yeah.
Guy's fine. Treated him. Antibiotics.
Well, I have read somewhere that, like, stuff like that lives on your skin.
Yeah, it's on us.
On everybody's everyday skin.
Yes.
And that you really only get bubonic plague if, you know, you get like a cut and you let it get infected.
Yes, something goes wrong. Right. Right.
So.
Wash your hands.
Yes, wash your hands. Cover your mouths.
Yes. Cover your mouth with your elbow.
Yeah.
And then wash your hands.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We've been saying that a lot.
Yeah. Well, we learned real fast.
No, I don't think a lot of people learned, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
People like us learned.
Yes. Yes.
So I think that, you know, since we have evolved as people, like, you know, if someone were be like, oh my God, it's a vampire, you know, there's no way that this can't be happening, you know, this
right.
can't be happening to us and my family. It's gotta be a vampire.
Right. Right. But as science has progressed, that knowledge has progressed, and there's
right.
answers to, you know, things like that. Well, it used to be a corpse wasn't really dead because his nails were still growing. Well, your nails don't grow, but your skin recedes.
Right.
So it looks like your nails are growing, you know,
right.
stuff like that. I mean, there's answers to that now.
Right.
That,
you know, why are her lips pink and her cheeks rosy, and, you know, and it's all just, you know, states of decay,
right,
that are natural. And I know that there is a whole vampire subculture in the world where, you know, regular people think that they're vampires and they have vampire clubs and
drinking blood and stuff like that. Yeah.
And then there are the people that think they're energy vampires, that they're really just obnoxious to be around.
Right.
And that's...
They really are energy vampires because they just suck the life right out of you. Yes. Yes. We all know those people.
Yeah.
So maybe that one is true.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But I mean, the vampire mythos is so varied and so storied that you could, there's always a new way to put a spin on it.
Absolutely.
And again, there's so many different types of vampires. The handsome man.
Yep.
The rat.
Right.
The wolf. The, you know.
The old hag. The old hag we saw today. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it really is just a toss up what you want to do to make a creepy movie.
I agree. And it worked out okay for us today.
Yeah. I think, like I said, on Facebook, I said that this is really the way it's shot and the way it's put together. Because there is an ending, but like it doesn't feel like an ending because it feels like there's a big chunk out of the middle missing.
Yes.
That it feels more like a fever dream.
Yes. You keep saying that. And you know what? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It really does seem like that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting movie. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing something else.
Yeah.
Like this. To grow, expand my horizon a little.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of silent movies that we could watch.
Oh, yeah. I know. You know, fortunately, the Library of Congress has recognized this and almost not too late.
Right.
That a lot of movies have been preserved that would not ordinarily have been preserved.
I'm still holding out hope that there's an English print of this movie in somebody's attic.
Somewhere. Yep. Who knows?
I'm also optimistic on somebody finding London After Midnight.
Okay.
That's another vampire movie. That starred Lon Chaney Sr. as this vampire type guy.
Okay.
Yeah. And you only can see like some production stills. And he looks wild. He looks like a maniac. But it's so cool and I want to know the story so bad.
Yeah.
But no complete print is known to survive.
Interesting. But there again, you know, these happened in the 30s, you think?
Yeah.
There are still people alive that lived in the 30s.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe something will turn up.
Sure.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. We didn't, there was no food in this movie.
Right.
There was no movie in this food.
coffee or tea.
Which I had a cup of coffee with breakfast.
You did.
So we had breakfast.
Yeah.
And we got it from Executive Diner here near us. Yeah. And the eggs were a little salty, but I like them like that.
I did not think they were salty. I thought it was delicious.
I thought it was great.
And it was the like fried potatoes rather than the hash browns.
I love them.
I
love a home fry.
Yep. Yep. We might have to go to them again.
Oh, yeah.
The next time.
I wouldn't be mad.
No. No. Not at all. So, yeah, that was a little departure. When we talked about the food, because there was none, you know, we decided we'd just have our own breakfast. So,
yeah, well, you know, the first place that Alan Gray stops at is like an inn, like a bed and breakfast-y
right.
type place. So why wouldn't they have, you know, like right. just an egg and potato offering?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I thought that that was a perfect solution.
Yeah.
And we did have a lovely breakfast.
It was delicious.
Yeah. And the executive diner's just around the corner from my house, so it wasn't too far out of the way.
Yeah.
So, yay. Sorry the other place didn't answer their phone, but...
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
You Maybe... snooze, you lose.
Or, you know, sometimes when they're too busy, they can't get to the phone, and I get that too. So... Maybe I'll drive by there on the way home and see if they're open.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're not open. Maybe something happened.
Oh, no. I hope not.
Me too.
We eat there quite a bit.
Yeah. Me too. Yeah, that turned out really well. And our TikTok was fabulous.
Our TikTok was pretty cool. We filmed it in black and white.
Yep.
Mom got this sweet candelabra. It is so cool.
It really is.
I know that we had a plastic skeleton upstairs, so I made Justin go up and get it last night. I made a scythe.
And it's pretty cool.
It looks pretty cool.
It looks really real.
I mean, it looks real enough.
Well, yes. But it looks exactly like it should.
Yeah. And I did that all freehand. I just kind of cut the cardboard out, and I had a marker. I made two lines, and then I cut outside of those lines.
Okay. That's because you're an artiste.
Yeah. And then I was just like, I should have done this earlier. Second of all, I should have got spray paint.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but you know what? Spray paint's awful messy.
It is. Well, I mean, I would have done it on the front yard.
You know, spray paint's awful messy.
I just would have held it up outside and spray painted
right.
it out there.
It would have been, I don't know if it would have been cooler or not.
6 1/2 dozen together, yes. I guess. If I hadn't waited till the last goddamn minute to do it, I would have busted out my paints, found a silver paint, and hand painted it.
Again, so messy.
And then I didn't think about leaving a bit of the flap from the box on the handle, on the scythe to make a handle. So getting it to stay taped on there was really hard. Like, there is a lot of tape on there.
Good thing the skeleton's holding it.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to cut it off.
What do you mean? Are we supposed to plan this stuff? Come on.
Listen, I've been talking about this movie for like 2 weeks, and
yeah?
I didn't do jack shit until midnight last night.
Well, I just ran out the other day and got this candelabra. I have several candelabras, just like yours.
Yeah.
But I thought, how are we going to hold those? Because originally we were going to hold them. No, you know what? Somebody's got candelabra like I'm looking for. And this is the one I got is exactly what I was looking for.
It's exactly what the man in the mansion is carrying around his house.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's exactly like
it. So you sent the picture to me and I'm like, oh, first of all, it's really cool. But I was like, oh, don't, it might be a little fancy. And then I was going through pictures on the internet, and I was just like, wait a minute, that guy has a candelabra just like mom just bought.
Yep.
So then I was like extra excited,
and I did that all on my own.
Yeah.
And this one is kind of you can unscrew it and move the candles different places.
I saw that they were like kind of unattached.
I squeezed them together.
Yeah, I like it.
And that was kind of almost exactly like the guy had.
Yeah.
That were squeezed together rather than making like a cross.
Uh-huh.
Or an X, whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. So, it's fun. So, you'll be seeing that again, I'm sure. We'll be using that for other things.
Absolutely. And if we don't, we're going to anyways.
Yes. We will make it.
We will get our money's worth out of this.
It was pretty expensive. But I'm still cool with it. I am really cool with it. But yeah, I have several just like the one you, the smaller one.
Yeah.
You can see it in the TikTok that both of them are there. But I thought, how are we going to do this? I just wanted something different. And boy, did I get it. And I went over to Home Goods and they had all of their Halloween stuff out already. And they had several, they had it in several aisles, but it was like on only one side of the aisle. So that was weird to me. But they had some really cool stuff. We went over there yesterday to look if there was something else we needed, but she wouldn't let me buy the chains.
We didn't need chains.
The chains were so cool, though. They did have a wicker bat, but we just didn't know how we would.
The wicker bat was really cool, but what would we do with it? And there weren't really bats in this movie.
No, there were no bats.
You know, the vampires didn't turn into bats. Right.
This was not a vampire bat movie. But that wicker bat was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And cobwebs and stuff. But we did a pretty good job. I liked the way the set turned out for us. And we had fun doing it.
I've gotten 3 new followers and 233 views on TikTok.
My gosh.
And I just figured out how to refresh it.
Oh my gosh. 3 new followers? Hello, everybody.
Yeah. So we have 88 followers now.
Oh my gosh. On TikTok?
On TikTok.
Oh my God. That's craziness.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Because that's way more people than I know.
Oh, absolutely. That's probably more than we know combined.
Times two. Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. How fun.
Yeah, but the TikTok is shot in black and white. It's really very cool.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. We got mom's doilies. We took the doilies from her living room and made our outfits up with them.
Hey, don't tell people I have doilies in my living room. They think I'm old.
You are old.
Oh, okay. I have loved doilies for as long as I can remember. There's just something about a doily that is very attracted to me. So, I mean, look at them with a different light. They're artistry on your table.
Yeah.
Someone spent hours. That big one I have, probably someone spent a month making that.
Yeah, tatting it all together.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Tatting.
Yes. I mean, they're beautiful pieces of art.
Yeah.
And I have loved them for many years, and I brought two that I thought would work the best.
Oh, yeah.
I have many more. So, yeah, but don't tell people that. They think I'm old. Oh, well. I am.
They already know that you're my mom and I claim to be old. So,
okay. Oh God. So I'm real old then. Oh, today I feel real old. So, you know, it's okay, I guess.
I couldn't sleep for shit last night. And
I don't know. It's this weather, I think.
I don't know.
It's got to be. Why can't we sleep?
Well, I'm chalking it up to pre-vacation jitters.
Well, you know what? Yes.
You know.
That makes absolute sense. Am I ready? Do I have this? Do I need that?
Yeah, what
should I get?
What do I need to
what's
do?
What's going to happen while we're there? What are we going to see?
My father-in-law has been sick. So, you know.
Yep.
Are we going to have to make a mad dash back? I hope not. He's been feeling better, so.
Yeah. You haven't had a break this year. Me? Now him?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is awful.
Yeah. All these old people in my life.
I'll tell you what. I'm sick of the old people in your life. Especially this one. Good Lord. I hate being sick.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Well, I guess on that note, we do have some in memoriams. Now.
I forgot about that. But these people were much older.
Not really.
You're right. You're right. Dr. Ruth, she was. Dr. Ruth was in her 90s.
Now, I think it said 96. And Justin and I were sitting here like, how was Dr. Ruth not 96 years old in 1985?
Yes.
She seemed like she was going on 100 then.
Back then, yes. Yes, I have to agree with you there.
Way too happy to be talking about sex all the time. 100 years old.
For somebody who looked like that.
110 years old.
Lady, what are you talking about? Well, you know what they say. You either talk about it or do it, you know? So, okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Bob Newhart. Love Bob Newhart.
He was old, too.
Yep, he... funniest man alive, as far as I am concerned.
That deadpan is so, yep. He was so great with his timing was so great.
Yes. You know, I loved his phone calls. They, I thought, were fabulous. You know, that not everybody can do that. The only thing I did not like about Bob Newhart is his best friend was Don Rickles. I hate Don Rickles. Hated him.
He is an acquired taste.
I guess. Hated him.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. But, you know, Don Rickles was huge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bob Newhart, he had many careers.
Yeah.
He was on Young Sheldon and
he was in the movie Elf.
Yes.
Friend of the pod, Elf.
Yes. What's that? Oh, the guy, Sheldon's group. Oh, my gosh.
Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, so he had a whole, you know, a whole nother career just recently. So, yeah, Bob Newhart.
Yeah.
Richard Simmons. Go figure.
Who, he's been real weird the last 5 or 10 years. He's just been kind of away from the spotlight and real cagey.
Right.
Pauly Shore wants to do a biopic.
Right. And Richard Simmons was completely against it. He thought that it would be a ridicule to him. And I don't think it would have been a ridicule.
Absolutely not. Especially with, you know, somebody as unserious as Pauly Shore.
Right. And people loved Richard Simmons.
Yes.
He was exciting and he was energetic. And
he accepted everybody at face value.
Yep.
He didn't care what you looked like.
Nope.
He didn't care.
Nope.
He just wanted to help you heal your heart so you could heal your body.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he probably was, you know, there's a lot of talk about his housekeeper keeping him prisoner and stuff like that. Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Or, you know, when you get old, you get stuff starts moving around and maybe he didn't like the way he looked at the end, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that's not the reason, because I don't think Richard Simmons had a look. I think Richard Simmons was Richard Simmons.
Well, I, you know, once you can't wear those booty shorts anymore, are you Richard Simmons? And maybe that was the thing.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
maybe he didn't feel like Richard Simmons if he couldn't be 1982 Richard Simmons.
Yeah. We don't know.
I don't know.
You know, there were lots and lots and lots of stories about it, so.
You know, and he did so much good for so many people.
Right.
And it's just a shame that he didn't feel that love reciprocated back to him.
Right, right. That is. And then Shannon Doherty.
Who kind of was a terrible human being.
Yeah, kind of the opposite of Richard Simmons. I mean.
But she battled cancer for years.
Yes.
It would come and go and she would fight like hell.
Yes.
And this time it said no dice.
Right. It got the best of her.
Yeah.
Very young, 56?
53.
53, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I didn't write any of those down. I usually write stuff like that down. But, yeah. Yeah, some pretty big people died recently.
Yeah.
So kind of sad, kind of weird, kind of strange. And then I also have a little blurb in the news. I kind of previewed this to Alexis yesterday, and she kind of thought I was weird. The Ohio Supreme Court has ruled that consumers cannot expect boneless chicken wings to be actually free of bones. Yeah, let that sink in. They went on to say that boneless wings refers to a cooking style, and that the consumer should have been on guard against bones, since it's common knowledge that chickens have bones. And it's just as if you were eating a chicken finger. You are not eating a finger. It's a piece of chicken.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen people eat chicken feet, though. It's fucking gross.
They make a soup out of it, don't they?
They deep fry it.
It's a delicacy.
Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, well, you know what? Some people feel that every part of the animal is...
waste not, want not.
Exactly. So we can thank a guy in Hamilton, Ohio for...
Inhaling a chicken bone
somehow.
Okay.
And then, of course, blaming the restaurant and its supplier. And it made it all the way to the Ohio Supreme Court. This was not a unanimous decision. It was a 5-4 decision. But, yeah. You cannot expect boneless chicken wings to be boneless.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I mean, I think people, that's just like, remember when the lady sued McDonald's because she had her coffee cup in her crotch and had second degree burns in her crotch because she had put her hot coffee between her legs to drive. Don't you remember that?
Yeah, there's a little more to that story in which McDonald's should have taken that a little more seriously, but...
It's hot coffee. Why would you put hot coffee in your crotch?
She didn't. She was holding it near her lap, and she had taken the lid off to add creamer. And the car moved, and it sloshed, and she was burned to shit. It wasn't second degree burns. It was third degree burns on her thighs and pubic region.
Okay.
Could you imagine?
It was only second, but okay.
Third degree burns?
No.
On your pubic region?
And I can't imagine having my coffee near there.
Well, where are you supposed to? You're supposed to hold it up here? And put it on your
cup holder.
You're supposed to put it out your window? What are you supposed to do with it? Maybe the car wouldn't have a cup holder. This was in the 80s.
Okay.
When did cup holders become standard?
I don't know. It just seemed weird to me. But you know, hot. All of those.
Well, the temperature of the coffee was also exorbitant. The temperature of the coffee exceeded what it needed to actually be to be considered hot coffee by a lot.
Okay.
It was a whole thing. I read a whole thing about it.
So there was just way more to the whole situation.
Although hot coffee is supposed to be like 150 degrees.
Right.
And like her coffee was like 230 degrees. Something outrageous like that.
My goodness. Would they put it in the microwave or something?
I don't know. In a styrofoam cup?
I don't know. But I was at a Tim Hortons recently getting a lemonade. And a guy that was, he's probably two or three cars back ordering. He ordered 6 sugars in his coffee.
Oh.
I thought, oh my God. How is he going to make it to the end of the day if he ordered 6 sugars?
I'm not going to tell you that I like my coffee sweet. I like it sweet and blonde, just like me.
But 6?
That is why I don't order coffee out, because I like it sweet.
Hey, 2 or 3?
I like it I like it at least six.
God. Oh, my God. Okay.
Like, when I make coffee here, I just take the sugar bag
and sprinkle it in.
Dump it in. Like, oh, that looks like enough.
Okay.
And then I put sweet creamer on top of it.
Well, I always do too. But I only get one.
So
in my iced coffee, I only get one sugar.
But like, I have enough shame in my body to know that I can't go to McDonald's and order a black coffee with 15 sugars and 15 creams.
I'd like a glass of sugared milk with a splash of coffee, please.
Listen.
Okay.
We watched the documentary McMillions.
Okay.
About the Monopoly scam that was running.
Yes.
And one of the people that they were talking to that were related to somebody that was involved, they go to McDonald's and they're ordering coffees, and the cream and sugar was outrageous. And like, all you could think about was just those people and the amount of cream and sugars in their coffee. And I was just like, how do you go with a straight face and roll up to McDonald's and order a coffee like that and just look at the person at the drive thru handing you this drink and smile at them? Like how? Because I can't.
Well, that's why, you know, the girl is there with her headphones at the Tim Hortons and she's talking. And she said, six sugars? And, you know, yes, she heard in her ear. And she turned to the girl that was passing out the stuff out the window. And she said, six sugars? So I said, six sugars? And she said, uh-huh. The three of us had a moment there at Tim Hortons. Just
now, that is the coffee I will make for myself in the privacy of my own home. I will not go anywhere else and make coffee like that. The most I'll do in public is four sugars, but I'll put a couple, two or three creams in there as well.
All right,
because some places just make strong goddamn coffee.
Well, that is true. That is true. You know, if you use the pump sweetener, that's sweeter than the sugar packets.
Really?
So you could say, you could go up and say you want three pumps of sweetener.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do that at Starbucks because I don't like Starbucks coffee. I think Starbucks coffee will put hair on anybody's chest.
Well, that, you know, it is rather strong and yeah. Okay.
Even their mild coffee, I think, is too strong.
Oh, my. I do on occasion get an iced coffee there, but you know, iced coffee is different from coffee.
Yeah.
So, and I don't usually drink anything hot. You do, but I don't.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I do know that the hot chocolates at Tim Hortons are lava hot. They are exorbitantly hot.
Yeah.
Because they're like, do you want a little paper sleeve? Yeah. I want two or three of those to stack on each other because this shit is going to bleed through the little paper sleeve.
That's why the last time I got you one, I opened the drink hole to let some of the heat out.
Yeah. Because I told her, I said, it's going to be lava hot.
Yeah.
The cup and paper holder are going to be on fire.
And it was. It was. And that's okay.
Yeah, it tastes delicious, though. The hot chocolate at Tim Hortons?
Yes.
Fabulous.
I have heard that. People have said that. And now you have said it.
It's great. But I will never, ever, ever embarrass myself by ordering a black coffee with 15 sugars and 15 creamers.
Okay. I'm all right with that.
Oh.
Are we going to talk about Mountain Dew?
We can talk about Mountain Dew. J.D. Vance, the vice presidential candidate, has come out and said, you know, in trying to, I guess, I don't know.
Be cool.
I guess to try to, you know, impress people that he's not woke. Tried to say that the liberals were going to say that it was racist that he drank a diet Mountain Dew. And when I heard that, I was just like, what? he's racist about a diet Mountain Dew. And I was just like, it's a little for a man to be drinking a diet Mountain Dew for, you know, not health reasons, but
right.
Who cares? First of all, who cares? It's diet Mountain Dew.
And then when you told me that, I just thought, why would he say something like that?
Just to fucking upset people.
I had no connotations to it other than a guy drinking a Mountain Dew. I know people who drink Mountain Dew all day.
All day.
That's all they drink is Mountain Dew.
I know men that drink diet Mountain Dew and will only drink diet Mountain Dew.
Well, those are guys that only drink diet soda, period.
Right. And they are men that tend to drink, you know, the ultra beers, too.
Right.
The diet beers.
Yeah, see, I had absolutely nothing, no connotation to that, except the fact that this jack-off is saying he drinks a dew, you know? Big deal.
I mean, I would... And then I had to put in my two cents that my view on manhood is a little skewed because I live with a man that can drink 15 Budweiser Red Labels and then eat a large pizza by himself.
Yeah, you got a man.
I have a
here.
Man.
Yeah.
Right. That is big daddy behavior.
Yes. Yes.
And when the boys at work talk about, you know, well, you know, I went up for pizza and beer last night. You know, I had six slices of a medium and I had, you know, five or six, you know, Michelob Ultras. And I'm just like,
shake it off. Be a man. For Christ's sake.
I'm like, call me when it's a diesel.
Yeah.
And a large deluxe.
Right. Right. Oh, my gosh.
I have seen some things.
Yes. But then it dawned on me that she's talking about, you know, Mountain Dew and hillbilly stuff. And, dude, you're from Ohio.
And he's not even from, like, the shitty part of Ohio. Like, yeah. where
Appalachia does not come to Ohio.
It is in Ohio, just on that.
Just on that very edge. On
the outside edge by Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
He is on the Indiana side.
Right.
In the suburbs.
Yeah. Dude, you're from Ohio.
You're from Ohio. Also, did you know that he's had, like, four different names? That when he married his wife, he changed his name to this J.D. Vance. This name is only as old as his marriage.
No, really?
Yes.
Huh.
His name was James whatever, named after his biological father. That father, I don't know, died. Not in the picture, whatever. Stepfather adopts him. New name to erase biological father. Is after, you know, somewhat near what the original name was, stepfather's last name. That's what his army career was through. That's what his schooling career was with. And it was only when he married his wife that this J.D. Vance has appeared.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I don't...
wonder why.
I don't... And, I mean, I understand... not wanting the name of your father or the father figure or whatever in your life. I understand that because I don't have my father's name on purpose.
Right.
And what I tell people when they're like, oh, you know, are you related to this person? I'm like, oh, no, no, no. This is my ex-husband's name. And I hate my ex-husband a little less than I hate my dad. So.
Okay.
So I kept his name. And I really... between you, me, and the wall and the computer, I had kind of assumed that I would have a different name a lot sooner than I have.
I understand that.
So I was just like, oh, this is just temporary anyways. Who gives a shit?
Right.
15 years later.
Right. I went to, after the divorce, I went back to East.
Yeah.
And that's been many more than 15 years.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that would change too, but it never did. So, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But you know what? All you do drinkers, Keep drinking it.
Keep drinking Mountain Dew.
Don't listen to crazy people
talking
about it. All
you diet pop drinkers, keep drinking your diet pop if that's what makes you happy. I think it tastes like shit.
I do, but...
Do what makes you happy. Live your life.
Right.
Listen to these fucking retards.
Right.
God damn it.
Right. Who want to put innuendos on things.
What's this woke mind bullshit? Yeah. It's all just racist and transphobic and awful, awful, awful people putting ideas in your head to be an awful, awful, awful person. Don't be an awful person.
Nope.
Think for yourself.
Yep. It's that simple.
It's that simple. And if thinking for yourself says, I don't like that bitch on this podcast, that's fine. I just want you to think for yourself.
Right.
I'm happy for you if you think for yourself.
Right. Because we have said it many times. We have opinions.
Lots of opinions.
And we're okay with our opinions.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you have opinions too. And we're okay with them.
Well, I don't like them. But...
Well, you know what? No.
I'll go ahead
it's not my opinion.
And I'll have a rebuttal.
Yeah.
I'll have a rebuttal.
But you do you.
Do you.
Yep. And absolutely have your own opinions. Don't have somebody else's.
But
be your own person.
Want to be an awful person. Just stay away from us. Just go away
from
us.
Yeah, we don't have any. At this stage of our life, awfulness needs to go another way.
I'm awful enough.
Yeah.
To myself.
Yeah.
In my own world.
Me too.
I don't need anybody else being awful at me, for me.
Right.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of it that way. But no, have your own opinions and it's okay.
Absolutely.
It's okay. We have ours and we have lots of them. And we're okay with that.
Also, go read a history book. Things were not good for people for a long time. They don't want you to know that.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff in history that you should probably know before you make big decisions.
Right. Right.
Regarding your future.
Right. And we do, and we keep it in mind that we live in 2024. Right now is 2024. Don't revert back to the 60s or the 70s or the 50s, whatever. Let's move ahead.
If I have to wear a hoop skirt, I'm killing everybody.
Oh, my good God, yes. There will be a knife in there.
I'm killing everybody.
Yeah. And if I can't drive my car, I'm out of here.
I'm gonna drive it into a wall.
That a bunch of men are standing by. Yeah. Yeah. Or I can't get the medical help I want.
Yeah. I'm just not going to doctor anymore.
No. Oh, my goodness. Okay. We have covered every topic to be topicked about. And we're getting messages. I'm getting messages. Love your TikTok.
I just got it, too. I'm going to send it out later to my friends and see what they say, because I'm not going to see them at work Monday because I'm on a vacation.
Oh, yay. That means grandma's in charge of the little kitties.
Yeah.
Mom's going to come home and going to wonder what happened.
It'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yes, they will. I like it when grandma comes over.
Yeah.
We get cookies.
And lovin's.
Yeah.
Because nobody gives them lovin's or cookies here.
Mm-mm. Nope. It's apparent to me every week when I come that these poor little kittens have not had a pat or a kind word at all.
I went to bed the other night. Nash came with me. And Justin was having a drink and he came in. And he was just like, oh, my God, look at you guys. And Ash was like right next to my face, which he always starts out next to my face. And he's just like, how can you breathe? And I was just like, I can't. But I'm just trying to like breathe over him.
Right. Right.
He's just like, oh, my God, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Aww.
Because he does. He'll come up and he'll put his head on my pillow. and he'll curl up on my body.
Oh. Reginald Manchego walks up me, stands on my chest, and looks down at me.
Oh.
I think he thinks he's in charge.
Oh. You need to dispel him of that rumor.
Wait a minute. He is.
Because when I went over there and stayed, I said, Reginald Manchego, I said, we are not getting up when you want to get up for food. You will get food when I get up. It's early enough. You need to calm down. And he said,
that's why he was calling me at 2 a.m.
He's not feeding me. I'm starving.
Have you seen those cats on the reels?
That
are typing on the text machine.
Oh, yeah.
Making phone calls. I'm thinking that's Reginald Manchego.
Yep.
Yeah. And all three of your little ones.
Yep. It was a mistake to give them phones.
Yes, it was. Or computers.
Yeah.
They didn't really need them.
No. They know too much.
Yes, they do.
They're going to kill me in my sleep.
Yes, they are. It's true. All cats are plotting our deaths.
Yep, think so.
Yeah.
On that note, we have obviously not picked another movie. We have no idea what we're doing from day to day.
Yeah, y'all know that.
But we will find something good to keep things rolling.
Yeah.
We've already discussed Halloween, which is coming up fast.
OMG. Yes.
We're going to do public domain horror.
That'll be fun.
So, like, Night of the Living Dead is going to be shown.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I have to get my voice ready. That will be fun. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't. It sounded more like the Arnold.
Okay.
I'll work on it.
Yeah, you work on that. I'll work on figuring something to watch.
Okay.
We're going to go to that video store.
Oh, right. Oh, so who knows what you might find?
Who knows what we'll be bringing home?
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be our next movie.
Yeah. Fun. You're going to have a great time.
I hope so.
Yep. You'll eat your favorite restaurant. You'll go to their favorite movie store.
Yeah.
Be a good weekend.
Yeah, we're going to go to the Grand Rapids Public Museum, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it looks pretty sweet.
Nice. Okay. All right.
So, we're excited.
Yeah, I would say.
All right.
Okay.
Till then, we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.